puts a smile to my face. We serve a great God. Amen. Amen. We definitely serve a great God. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to you. Good morning to you in my Mr. Rogers voice. Amen. Amen. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. But before I get into the verse for this morning, yesterday we were at Unity Day with some great individuals from the community, and we had a wonderful and glorious time. There was food, folks, and fun. We participated in the event for the last couple of years, and as the Vice President of South Seminole Association for Community Progress, I was out there again on this particular weekend, as well as some young people that we had. We had a nice road cleanup yesterday. Everybody came dressed up to the road cleanup, where they found out that there's a such thing as sticker burros, and you don't need to wear flip-flops and socks when you're picking up trash. So now you know better. And pants, too. I think a couple of them got took into the woods by mosquitoes, but we retrieved them properly. So after that, we freshened up, and we went over to Unity Day, and there was something that was in the distance. It was green, and it was flat. It had two basketball goals on both ends. It was a court, and there was some young people around us that was swelling up on us, talking about some let's play. And then I heard from the distance, old school versus new school. And so myself, Bishop Larry Carter, and Ryan Carroll, we let's just say they were astonished and amazed that we could move so quickly. They were astonished and amazed that when I put my knee brace on, it was just all over. And so, Young Lions, I just want to let you know that although Pastor Martin is going to be 44 years old this year, and I think Bishop Larry Carter is pushing 50 or 50 plus, and Ryan, I don't know where he's in. He's the millennial of the group, so he balanced us out. Y'all have quite some time before y'all could get up in that hole. You cannot stand in the paint when it comes to the old school just yet. Even my son was like, "Oh, Dad, I just couldn't understand the pivot foot. It was just amazing." And you just kept on scoring. I was a lead scorer out there, and they just kept on looking upward, and the ball just kept going in over and over. See, they're not used to playing on hood rims where the rim's about that thick. You got to be accurate with the rims. So I'm just letting you know that if you want to learn more skills like that, just watch the tape. Just watch the tape. That's all. Oh, you want a rematch? That's not foul. We play 90s rules. That wasn't no fun. Let's play 90s rules, man. We don't do LeBron rules around here where you just get touched. So it was just a wonderful and glorious time on that. We had a lot of fun. I just enjoyed just being able to play with the young men out there. As well, I got a chance to get some exercise. There was a lot of officers from the community and other individuals. They're taking photos of us, and I was like, "This is the photo before I go into the hospital, so take it now." Amen, amen. Once again, let us pray. Father, we thank you, we love you, we honor you. We thank you, this Lord God, for this morning. We thank you, Lord God, for your word. Teach us now, show us now your will and your way, in Jesus' name. Once again, this morning's scripture is going to come from out of Luke chapter 15, verse 1 through 7, and it says, "Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him," being Jesus. Verse 2 says, "Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" He hangs out with them. He goes to Unity Day. "So he told them this parable, saying, 'What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I tell you that in that same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Amen, amen. The title of this morning's message is Lost in Space. Lost in Space. Help me, Father, now. In Jesus' name, amen. The science fiction TV show Lost in Space, which aired between the years of 1965 to 1968, was loosely based on the Disney classic, The Swiss Family Robinson. Swiss Family Robinson, they had a ride out there at Disney that used to be the Swiss Family Robinson, and then that was very popular many, many years ago, but then it became kind of like a forgotten story, just like this one. However, the plot of Lost in Space centers around family members that are isolated and struggling for survival in deep space after being sabotaged by one of the individuals that was supposed to care for them, a doctor, if you will, which led to several tense moments between the family. I remember seeing reruns of the show coming on years ago in the early 80s and in the late 70s as a child. And you may even be able to catch a small, rare episode on TV Land, or my personal favorite, I'm just let you know a little part of my personality, Mystery Science Theater 3000. Now, you got to be a real nerd to like that type of show, which I did. Now, you may be wondering how this old show ties into the message of today. Lost in Space. I remember that. Well, as stated earlier, the family is struggling to survive because they have no direction. They are not in control, and there are constant feelings of being overwhelmed by the situation despite being surrounded by familiar faces. Have you ever been in a crowded room and still felt alone? Have you ever been in a stadium full of people at a basketball game, football game, at your kids' soccer game, or whatever it may be, and even in the midst of the congregation, you feel like you're all alone around smiling and familiar faces? There isn't anything wrong. It's just that you may feel lost or without direction. Now, place yourself in this picture. Place yourself in the photo on the screen. Place yourself in that same TV show, because sometimes we get lost when we are married, lost during the birth of a child, lost when we start a new job, go back to school, or pursue a business venture, knowing that there are intimidating factors in each situation. This may be one of the reasons why people have a tendency to become uncomfortable, or rather comfortable with mediocrity or settling for what's familiar, because of the fear of the unknown. What if I fail? What if I get on this new job that I've been praying and crying for, and then all of a sudden things go awry? What if I do get married and I end up splitting up? What if I settle down? What if? What if? Speculation is the scourge of this Christian soul. That's why we must have faith. Seriously, if you are human, you know that not having your footing on a firm foundation exposes a lot of insecurities. That's really what it is. That's the underlying premise. Insecurities. I just don't know who's going to show up. I was in that same place for many years. I was trying to find myself in regards to being a pastor. I was like, well, I don't know if the church is going to stay open. I don't know if people are going to show up next week. I don't know if I'm going to be able to juggle home and job and other things that are going on. I just won't be able to tell. However, even in the TV show, the catchphrase, danger, danger, Will Robinson, was made famous because it constantly reminded the family that they had no clear direction, even though they know their destination. Once again, sometimes you're going to be overwhelmed because you have no direction, just like this same particular family that was lost in space. And it's daunting to realize that you're just moving along with no clear sense of direction. Specifically, you know that you need to go somewhere, quote unquote, but you have no clue how to get there. Mm. it kind of reminds me of the Backyardigans, which was one of the TV shows that I had watched with my children as they were coming up many years ago. And I remember this phrase just as long, I think it was Pablo, the little penguin. That was like my favorite one. And he would go into this adventure and this different type of part of the TV show. And he would say, into the thick of it, into the thick of it. But we don't know where we're going. Into the thick of it, into the thick of it. But we don't know where we're going. And they would just be smiling. They were going somewhere. But they didn't know exactly where they were going. The only thing that they knew is that they were just making some type of movement. And hopefully, there would be some type of clue, some type of hint, some type of assistance from the outside world, even within that small little cartoon, that would give them some type of solace, give them some type of peace, give them some type of direction. Now, there are also a few people who are excited at the unknown because the life they live is usually by the seat of their pants. These are the folk that like to go bungee jumping. These are the people that like to go to downtown Orlando or Las Vegas and get on that slingshot. When you get on there, you save. But when you get up in the air, you're not saved no more. Lord have mercy. I remember watching those videos, and some people end up speaking in tongues, and they didn't even know, been to church all their life. But people like that, the thrill seekers. It is what it is. I got on a slingshot in New York, when we went to Coney Island. I had me a hot dog in one hand, and I was in the slingshot, and I went up, and Lady Martin was just hollering. And me, I'm just looking around, just eating my hot dog. Mm-hmm. It flew out my hand because I shouldn't have had it in my hand. But I love stuff like that because I'm interested by the fear or interested by the unknown, but not everybody is that way. And sometimes with the situations that I'm faced with, it is also a daunting and intimidation factors with me as well. Then you got them other kind of folk. You see, the majority of us have problems just trying to decide what to eat for dinner. And that could create frustration and a sense of insanity because you just don't know what you want to eat. So I ask you this morning, are you lost in space? Not up there in the universe where the stars and the planets rotate and orbit, but I'm talking about in your world. You heard that it's your season to be blessed. Remember that song? But you see nothing in sight. You got all the gifts in the world, or you've gotten a blessing, but now it's hard to handle because you didn't expect to be this much work. Remember the husband that you prayed for, oh Lord. Remember the wife that you prayed for. Remember these things, and then God gave it to you, and now you got to work. You better work. And it was unexpected. It threw you in a tizzy. It created all different types of problems and conflicts, but it's what you prayed for, and now you have it in your hands. But, you know, thank God. Thank God that he gives us some type of peace in regards to this. For many of you, you knew who you were going in, but now you don't recognize yourself when you look in the mirror. I've changed. Many of you have changed. Others of you will begin to change as you go through the situations, the circumstances of life. But again, I say, thank God we have his word to help us navigate the overwhelming feeling of working hard, being on the hamster's wheel, if you will, and surviving while it feels like you're not making any progress on a bullet train to nowhere. So let's get out of the space that we're in. And let's see if God can help us find direction this morning. First of all, when you talk with God, let me help you, no breath is lost. No breath is lost. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says, then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Other translation says he became a living soul. His spirit came alive. You could pin this or hashtag this as the first wind. The first wind. Man did not have any wind on the inside of him. He did not have any direction. He was just a puddle of clay and dirt from the mist that was around the firmament of the planet at that moment in time. And God, through the person of Jesus Christ, shaped and molded and then blew in. And if you ever seen on one of those glass, different types of displays where they're blowing inside of the glass and make it into a beautiful vase or a light bulb, that is the same thing that God, in the person of Jesus, did to mankind. He had no direction before he met God. God was took his spirit, the ruach, the breath of God, and breathed into man's nostrils, and now he can breathe again. But there's something that happened after this particular miraculous moment, and that is, of course, the garden, where Satan entered into the relationship of both Adam and Eve. In other words, he was the third wheel that knocked them off course. Let me make it plain. When sin entered in, it changed everything. Matter of fact, sin knocks the wind out of you. Not just natural wind, like you falling off of a mango tree because your mama and them told you to not climb up it and you fell on your back like I did a long time ago and all the wind was knocked out of you like playing football. I'm talking about the Spirit of God is knocked out of you. That's what happens when sin gets a root and gets a hold of us. But with God, you can breathe again. Have you ever talked to God and it seems like you're just wasting your breath because there is no response? There is no one that's hearing anything. There is no type of movement. Well, you have to see if there's sin in the camp, sin that is around you so that you can breathe again. See, the good news is that you don't have to worry about trying to catch your breath because it wasn't your breath in the very beginning. Oh, you got that. You don't have to worry about trying to catch your breath because what you need is already in the atmosphere. All you have to do is just calm down, take a deep breath of what God is trying to get to you. It'll make sense in Mark chapter 15, verse 37 through 39. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed, watch this, his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Can you picture it? So when the centurion, the Roman soldier who stood opposite of him, saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last. Look at this. He said, truly, this man was the Son of God. That was the second wind. The first wind was breathed into the first man, Adam. And that's what God breathed into him. But the last man, Adam, didn't try to take anything from the atmosphere. He would actually change the atmosphere by exhaling. Sin knocked the wind out of mankind. God never intended for mankind to be in disarray. But when you deviate away from God and you go back to your flesh, then you could get in all types of trouble. And God knew that this was going to be a repeated occurrence because none of us are perfect. And all of us have our idiosyncrasies. All of us have our issues. All of us have our problems. And sometimes we do what we know that we should not do over and over and over and again. We have the case of the, as old people would say, the can't help it. I can't help raising my voice. I can't help drinking and smoking when I get in trouble. I can't help talking out of turn. I can't help getting into arguments. I can't help fighting. I can't help sulking. I can't help pouting. I can't help getting in a rage. I can't help just being in sorrow. I can't help being in depression. I can't help pushing myself away from my loved ones. I can't help not talking to my children. I can't help it. It just happens when the wind is knocked out of me. But thank God for Jesus Christ, who breathes new life into us again. So when you talk with God, when you pray to him, when you speak with him, Not like a religious fanatic where you just worried about whether or not God is going to punish you and you start getting into this mindset that maybe I should start bargaining with him. Lord God, if you will do this, then I will do that. If you will help me with this job, then I know that I'll go to church for the rest of my life. God understands your pattern. We all have patterns. But the scripture says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The verse goes on to say, do not be conformed to the pattern or the plan or the way that everybody else is doing it out in the world on Loving Hip Hop Atlanta, Loving Hip Hop Oviedo, Loving Hip Hop Castleberry. I know they'll even have that. You don't need to go by those type of patterns, but by God's pattern, by his blueprint, which was established in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, it says that man should dominate over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over every creeping thing, and you shall be fruitful and multiply. That's the original blueprint. So yes, you're not wasting your breath when you talk to God. Well, how about number two, Pastor Martin? Like to hear? Here you go. See, when you walk with God, no strength is lost. You ever heard of the poem Footprints in the Sand? Ah, it's a wonderful poem. And without getting into the details of the poem, I'm just going to make it plain for you. The poem's basic construct is this. There is a person who is walking with footprints in the sand or leaving footprints in the sand. And it feels like they're all alone. They're going through a moment in life where they feel like no one is there for them. They feel like things are not happening appropriately. They feel like that the world is just crushing and falling in on them. And then all of a sudden there appears two footsteps, two sets of them. The individual that is going through and then another pair right beside them. You would think that this would bring a level of comfort, and it does, because God is not only there for us, but he will walk with us. And then after a while, it turns back into one set of footsteps. Now, what happened? Did God leave? No, he didn't leave, but sometimes that's the way that we feel. In all reality, when you feel like you can't go another further, it is God that lifts you up, and it is his feet that are in the sand carrying you when you cannot carry yourself. Genesis chapter 5, I felt that. Verse 23 through 24 says, so all of the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Some theologians believe that this was the first Old Testament rapture. He didn't even taste death. He lived for a long time. He had his first child at the age of 65 years old. But because he walked with God, he was so close with him. That's what the word walk means. It doesn't mean literally walk. It means the fellowship one with another. It reminds me of the old Baptist song. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. In other words, we enter into the garden of God alone. With Jesus Christ in that secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And like Enoch, when we get close to God, it almost feels like we're not in control any longer because he's in full control of the situation. He has lifted you up, and now it's just one set of footprints. You first walked out alone. Then you found out that he was with you, and now he is carrying you. Not only that, when you wait on God, no time is lost. No time is lost. Do you feel lost in space? In the space and time of your life where you've now find yourself no longer in your 20s and now in your 30s and now you're no longer in your 30s and now in your 40s and now 50 is around the corner, 60 is around the corner. Mommy and daddy are getting older. You know that they won't be on the planet for much longer. And it seems like you're running out of time. It's just like an hourglass that's being flipped upside down and you only have a few pieces of sand left before it expires. However, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 through 9 says, don't look overlook the obvious here, friends. This is in the Message translation. With God, one day is as good as 1,000 years. I'm going to break it down in just a moment. And 1,000 years is also like a day. God, help me somebody, isn't late with his promise as some measure lateness. Oh, you're not here on time. Oh, you're going to stroll into service at 12 noon. We're done. No. You can't put God in the same category. He may be the slowest man in town, but he's always right on time. So God isn't late with his promise as some measure lateness, as some measure slackness, as some measure just being lackadaisical and just going all really slow. No, he is right on time. He is restraining himself. He's actually waiting on you. He's taking his time and restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he does not want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. Look at that. So while we're waiting on God, Lord, help me, Jesus. I'm an empty pitcher before a full fountain. I can't go another further. Help me now. Oh, Jesus. God is like, I'm waiting on you to change. Because if I show up and I give you your heart's desire, you'll squander it because you're not ready. Amen. So that you are praying for, it's on its way. But you have to be patient. Oh, if we can go away from having a prophetic conference that tells us by this time tomorrow to a wait on God conference. Being patient. Waiting it out. Do you understand the revelation of as a day with God is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like one day to God? In other words, he is not bound by linear time for all my physics majors out there. April is coming, but to God, it means nothing. Because if God was bound by our time, that means that he would have a beginning date and he would have an expiration date. That's for us. We have a beginning date and we have an expiration date. But God, who is eternal, who is the first cause, who is the one who kicked the universe into the atmosphere from its very beginning. No, you can't keep on going backwards and say, who created God? No one created God because he is eternal. You can't have the stars, the moon, and the sky all smashed together and time and space, the height and width and depth of the elements all together and just come in different pieces. No. It all has to converge at one moment, and there had to be one that was making the convergence. The first cause, the initiator, the uncreated creator, God himself. But you got to wait on him. You have to wait on him. So don't overlook the obvious, friends. With God one day, you could have everything turn around on a dime. It may seem like you're waiting 5 years, but the blessing that he has for you will make it seem like you've been working on the project for 50 years. The money that you need could be right around the corner. The relationship continuity that you need could be right around the corner. You just have to wait on him and not go up to the counter and keep on ringing the bell saying, are you finished yet? You'll be disappointed. You ever gone to the DMV before and you try to make that mean old lady or that mean old guy hurry up? You try to get an attitude with them. And then they give you a number, 999. Go sit down somewhere. Well, I've been here all day, so have I. You can always take an appointment. You could come back tomorrow. And then you come back tomorrow and the person's not even there. So no, you can't ring the bell. Ding, 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 ding. No. You cannot ring the bell and try to rush God. Like he's some eternal bellhop waiting on hand and foot for you. No. There's a season. There's a fullness. There's a moment where he knows that you're ready. Even when you don't think that you're ready, he still knows when you're ready. He doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. Well, preacher, I get that. I understand waiting on God. It feels like I've been waiting a long time, and I'm cool with that. But you know, it seems like the longer I wait, my trust starts getting kind of shaky. It kind of gets kind of flaky a little bit. Well, when you trust in God, you will never be lost. Lord have mercy. You got to trust him even though you can't trace him. You got to trust him even though all the evidence says to the contrary. You got to trust him even though it looks like the ink has not even dried on the divorce papers. You got to trust him even though it looks like the children are going crazy. You got to trust him even though the church is not even full. You got to trust him even though it looks like things are not going to happen as they supposed to. You have to trust him even when you get fired. You have to trust him even when you get laid off. You got to trust him regardless of what you see. It's not about what you see, it's about what God said. What did God say? What did he say about the situation? What did he say about your life? Did you forget? Was the wind, was it knocked out of you? Or are you caught up in the moment? What happened? What happened this morning? It's all that life is, it's all that life is all about. What happened in the moment? But no, God is like, no, I have a perfect timing for all of this. I have a perfect moment when he or she will understand where I'm coming from. Because it may not necessarily be about the other person. It may be about you. Oh, that makes knots in the stomach start rolling around, doesn't it? But see, when God works on us, he doesn't just work on the folk around us. He works on us too. In unfavorable conditions, in situations and circumstances that we do not like. But when you have trust problems, you don't listen. You see, the ones that you don't trust or the ones that you don't know, you don't trust. So if you don't know God, then you can't trust him. Amen. If you don't have a relationship with him, you can't put your life in his hands. What happens if he messes it up? You ever dealt with some kids and things like that, and you try to give them assignment? I remember I was dealing with Jane a little while ago, and he was like, "Daddy, I want to help you. I want to help you. I want to go ahead, and I want to help you hammer the nail." Now, you know what kind of picture is going to happen right after that, right? It's going to be a painful situation either for him or for me. And both of us got hit by the nail, by the hammer. And I was like, well, experience has to be your best teacher. So he's crying, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, all right, I got it. Watch this. It went in. But I had to go on to tell him, now, I just want to let you know that, yes, I could put the nail straight through the board, but that does not mean that I haven't smashed my hand in the past. I have. But I've learned through experience how to do this. Likewise, you may not be able to trust God very much with a very with this thing that you got going on in your life, but if you stick with him, if you walk with him, if you talk with him, if you wait on him, then you will have a certain level of credibility that will be established between you and him. He will start answering the small prayers first, and then he starts moving to the big ones. But the bigger the prayer is, the bigger the breakthrough, the more that you got to wait on him. The requirements begin to get larger and begin to get more expansive, and they begin to get more intense. But we serve a great God.
Yes, we do.
A big God, a mighty God, a God that is not caught up with your drama. He doesn't change. And I'm so glad he doesn't change, even though we do on a regular basis. Last Sunday we were cool, this Sunday, mm-mm. Tomorrow, it'll feel like we got it all together, and then by Tuesday, we already went down the sliding board. Remember that video? Things are okay on Friday, but then next Friday, oh Lord have mercy, it feels like I lost my salvation. That's how we feel, but that's not how God feels. See, when God is married to you, he doesn't take his ring finger off. You may take yours off. You may try to make yourself available to the devil. But you are still unavailable even though you take your ring off. Why? Not because of all of the crap that you do, not because of all of the insecurities that you have, but because God is secure in himself and he knows who he is. And he knows exactly who you are. That's why he won't let you go. So when you trust in God, you will never be lost. I love this. This will help you. This will help you this morning. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6 says, and I love this verse. This is my mother-in-law's favorite verse. It's trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path with an S. That means that God will not only give you direction in one area of your life, but many areas of your life. If you will listen, if you will trust. Do you trust what I'm telling you? Do you believe me? Will you be made whole? That's the question that God asks each and every one of us when we feel like we ain't on speaking terms right now. That's how we feel, but God is consistent. So as I close, let me give you an example through several other individuals in the Bible how they got lost. If you may be feeling that way this morning, if you feel like you're without direction and you really don't know what you need to do, you may be looking at YouTube videos, you may be talking to your homies, your friends, your homie lover friends, whatever you want to call it, but you're still looking for some sense of direction. Well, one thing I could definitely tell you before I get into this list is that if they're lost, they can't help you. If everybody is blind, then who can see? I got another one. The person that sounds like they have some sense has only one eye. And the one-eyed man is king in the countryside of blind people. But just because that person has one eye doesn't mean that they see well. They only see half of the picture. God sees all. You see, people of God, Hosea got lost in his marriage to Gomer. She kept on tricking, she kept on doing stuff, she kept on stepping out over and over and over again, and he called it quits. It was a blended family. He married a woman that already had kids because she used to be out in the street over and over again. And he was like, I quit, I'm done. But God says, I want you to be married to her because I want you to know what it feels like to be me for a moment. They'll be here today, gone tomorrow. Talk about church people. Those that claim that they love me now, they won't be here when things start getting hard. I want you to know what it feels like. So Hosea lost in and lost himself in his marriage, but he found himself when he saved the very one that was hurting him. You see, people of God, Gomer was laying there on a pile of rocks, ready to be auctioned off to the highest bidder. And in Hosea's mind, he was just saying to himself, well, maybe I should just leave her there because she left me. But then a thought could have popped up. What about the kids? Maybe I should just leave her there because she left me. But what about all the times that we smiled and we had laughs? Maybe I should just leave her there because she's not worth anything. But God said that you got to get out of your feelings and you got to stick with it anyway. And so Hosea then proceeds to go inside of his pocket and pulls out all of his money, outbids every single other person that wanted to ravage her body like a slave owner. This is what you would see. You could see this as an old school sex trafficking mob. And then Hosea mercifully begins to raise up his hand with a handful of money and says, I will pay for her. I am the highest bidder. He found himself when he saved. How about the prodigal son? Well, the prodigal son got lost in his inheritance. He had everything that he needed from the father. The father gave him riches. He gave him house, money, land, cars, college education, scholarships, everything that they needed. I'll give you what you needed. You don't have to worry about the light bill. You don't have to worry about the rent. I'll take care of you. I got you. All you got to do is just do what you needed to do. But he got lost in what was given to him. But he came to himself found himself when he lost it all. You see, the prodigal son, he had everything. But then he got hooked up with somebody from a strange country. He got hooked up with a friend from the world. Forgot the father and wasted everything that the father gave. He lost everything. He was in depression. He was in the midst of a trial that was eating pig slop. And then all of a sudden, he came to himself. He found himself. Because he was lost in that moment. And he realized that I could still go back to my father. He still loves me. I don't know what it's going to be like when I go back into his presence. But when I get back into his presence, when I see him face to face, I'm going to be trembling in my boots. I don't know what he's going to say. I haven't been in church in a while. I wonder if people are going to be judging me. But if you're in a good church, if you have a good spiritual father, a good spiritual mother, if you know God at all, the response won't be, where have you been? The response won't be, what have you done? The response will be, come here. I got a fatted calf. I got a ring. I'm going to put it on your finger. I'm going to put this robe on you. I got a crown for your head because your position did not change because I did not change. How I felt about you. But Pastor, when I get all of that, but I still feel lost. Well, Elijah got lost in his ministry. Oh, have mercy. He was just serving and serving and loving and serving. He slayed the 250 prophets of Baal. He called fire down from heaven, beat them all back, had hair on his chest. That is until Jezebel came into the picture. It was like she took some Velcro and took all the hair off of his chest by one letter, threatening his life. He runs off into the wilderness, finds himself up under a juniper tree, falls asleep in his depression. God was like, get up through the angel of the Lord. Move from this particular place. I'm going to give you some angel food cake. Take a nap and then be on your way. Sometimes some food and a nap can do wonders for the depressed mind. That goes back to the old advice from mama and them, which says, don't make decisions when you're tired, hungry, or upset. So Elijah got lost in his ministry. He just got caught up in what was going on. But he found himself in a cave. You see, after he came from under the juniper tree and he began to go down that Damascus Road is indicative of change. And once he found himself inside of that cave, God was like, what you doing up in there? The cave represents depression, a deep, dark place where you feel alone. And the only voice that you hear is your own. The only voice that you hear is your own voice and your own thoughts. And they're getting louder and louder, telling you that you are not going to make it. You should just die right here. And God is like, what are you doing in there? Have you forgotten your identity? Have you forgotten who you are? Then the earthquake came, and then whirlwinds came, and then fire came. And God wasn't in all of that. He wasn't in all of the drama. It was a still, small voice. And it's like him bending down to his ear and he'd be like, get up. Don't you know who you are? Get up. Don't lose yourself in this temporary situation. Get up. Don't you realize the greatness is in your life? Get up. Don't you understand that you can get married even though you have kids? Get up. Don't you understand that you could be restored? Don't you understand that you could still be great even though you don't have a college education? Get up. Stop looking at everyone else. Stop trying to meet your own expectations of the glory of past years. You were a football star, a track star back in high school. Now it's not the same thing. And you lost yourself with the trophies of yesteryear. What about now? That's a reality for some people. I remember when I was in Jacksonville, Florida, and I used to be clubbing back in the day, and there would be this gentleman. I don't know his name, but he used to dap up everybody inside of the club, and he had to have been, I was in my 20s, in my teens at that, he had to have been in his 40s or 50s. And he would come to the club with football shoes on, Y'all seen these people before. I know I'm not the only one. Thigh pads and a jersey with no shoulder pads, just dancing in the club. And we were like, who is that? Well, yeah, man, he used to be bad back in the day. Man, we all thought that he was going to go to college and go to the NFL, but then something happened. He got lost. He couldn't move forward. He got stuck in the glory years because he wasn't glorifying God. Are you lost this morning? Well, Jacob got lost in lies and deception. The blessing wasn't supposed to be his. He hustled his brother Esau out of the blessing. You connived your way to the top. You a hustler, baby. I just want you to know. I just want to love you. Yes, you a hustler. You know exactly what to do. As a male or a female, you have a silver tongue. You can talk people out of their drawers and out of their money. Lies and deception. Mama was in on it too. She was playing favorites. But brother Esau, he was a thug. He was like, uh-uh, you ain't taking my blessing. No. Now that I found out what you did, you better get up from out of here. I'm the older brother. I'm going to take what's mine. You better move it. I'm going to kill you by this time tomorrow. So Jacob then moves out. Lost in lies and deception. Going from city to city until he finds himself in a hard place. Or rather, between a rock and a hard place, at the place of Bethel. He sleeps on a pillow of bricks, and then the angels begin to ascend and descend during his dream, and then he finds himself walking to a place called Peniel. He then begins to wrestle with the angel of the Lord, not a regular angel like Michael or Gabriel, but with Jesus himself. And in the midst of him being broken down, they said his hip was breaking, he finds out who his real name really is. You will no longer be Jacob, a liar, a supplanter, somebody who steals other people's thunder, somebody who likes to take your ideas and then applies them to your own, somebody who likes to take your flyers and then cuts them in half and then puts other people's names on them. Your name will be Isaac. You will become one of the patriarchs of the faith. You will be among the three: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he got lost in lies of deception, but found out his name could change. Can your name change? People used to know you as this, but how about that? It's just like the old rap song. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You could get with this, but that, nah. You can have your name change. Well, how about Hannah? You see, Hannah got lost in her depression because she could not have a child, but found herself with a child once God stirred up what was dry on the inside. Lord have mercy. Paul got lost in religion and tradition. He got lost in perfunctory and all these different types of vestments and what the clergy was doing. He was studied in Gamaliel's house. He knew exactly what verses needed to be said, but he found himself in the Lord after he was knocked off his high horse. Is that you, Lord? I can't see. I can't see. All I had was religion to rely on. All I had was tradition to rely on. I had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. I was blinded by coming to church every single Sunday. I thought I was holy. I thought I could just do stuff and be in good graces with you. But then God, in the person of Jesus Christ, in a Christophany, the glorified body of Jesus Christ, knocks him off his high horse. The high horse, people of God, represents pride. When you have pride, you can't move very far. When you have pride, you destroy people's lives. When you have pride, you become passive aggressive. When you have pride, you can't hear God. When you have pride, you become the embodiment of Satan's first sin. He said, I will be above God. I will call the shots. I will be the man. And God had to bring him down. Like lightning, it was quick. The man by the pool of Bethesda got lost during the 38 years of his affliction. He was waiting for somebody to put him inside of the pool. If I just had somebody that could help me. He had a victim mentality for 38 years, but he found himself when he wanted to be made whole. Peter got lost denying Jesus. Do you know him? No. Do you love him? No. Even the little children was like, I saw him in the marketplace as one of his disciples. And then he was like, no, you blanketed blank. I don't know. He began to cuss at her and fuss at her. And then that's when the cock started crowing. Three times. But he found himself when he was confronted in his denial. He then began to get into tears to himself and said, I shouldn't have never have doubted him like that. Where is my Jesus? And he begins to pursue him after all of that. Job got lost in tragedy. Naaman got lost in pride. And both Mary and Martha got lost in the details. And we all were lost in this world. Until God found us. Let me make it plain through a hymn about him. You missed it. We were sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master heard of the sea, heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now saved am I. Love lifted me when nothing else could help, when the drugs couldn't help, when the relationship could not help, when the sex could not help, when the money could not help, when the drugs could not help, when the alcohol could not help, when the cocaine could not help. Love lifted me. Love lifted him. Love lifted you. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Are you lost in space? You can't find yourself, can't quite get your footing. It's very uncomfortable when you can't touch the bottom of the ocean. That's very intimidating, isn't it? Especially when you have very suspect swimming skills. There's a story of a young lady that was in such a situation. I saw this person out in the Caribbean, and beautiful, beautiful young lady. On land, awesome. But on sea, oh my goodness. I happened to see this young lady out in the distance in the water, and the waves were just gently just moving about. I had my mask on and I was looking up under the water. I saw all the seashells and all of the beautiful urchins and fish and tarpon, and it was just a beautiful sea. I saw Nemo and I saw Dory and I saw all these other beautiful things that were up under the water. I even saw the things that were prickly. And this beautiful woman looked down and she saw something under there. And no sooner did I got my head up out of the water, she was already back on the boat. I would have thought that she was Jesus because she walked on water that day. But for me, I was comfortable. Not really because I was a dynamite swimmer, but because I had a life raft. And even though I did not have proper footing up under me, it was what I was resting on that gave me comfort. The old people would say, throw out the lifeline. Throw out the lifeline. Someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today. So I was in a life raft. It didn't belong to me. Didn't deserve it. but I was in it. It helped me feel secure in a sea of insecurity. If you're feeling insecure this morning, if you feel lost, I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you. Are you on the milk carton of life? Do you know this person? Don't even have a name. That may be how you feel. But I assure you, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout this entire planet, searching for one that will serve him. You're not alone. And you're not lost. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord this morning. So you may be feeling like you're lost in space this morning. You can stand on your feet right now because we're done. Lost in space. To be transparent with you, I could tell you one of the areas where I get lost at the most, the space between my ears. My wife has to wake me up on a regular basis. Stop daydreaming. What you looking at? My son's thinking, what you looking at? I'm like, I'm looking outside. But daddy, there's a ceiling right there. Sometimes we get thought between the 6 inches of our ears. In our thoughts, in our mind, that's where many of us have the most intense battles. But I'm reminded by one wise man that says the answer to the problem is wrapped up in the problem. So if you're battling with those thoughts inside of your mind, you got to replace those negative thoughts with positive ones. Not just some artificial positive thinking, metaphysical type stuff. No, I'm talking about what God thinks about you. Because those have life. Those have potency. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. We honor you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for this moment. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us peace, giving us direction in our lives, bringing clarity to a cloudy picture. We thank you, Lord God, for showing us how to put our trust in you. So, people, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Teach us, Lord God, how to acknowledge you so that you could direct our paths the way we will go in life. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Before we close out, if you're feeling lost or you know someone who's lost, come on up to this altar. I want to pray for you. This is a great moment right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have the words for the screen, please put them up. Thank you. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed. It's gonna be all right.
Pour out your spirit in this place. We need your spirit, God. Pour out your spirit in
touch them now, Lord God. Feeling lost? Find Jesus. He found you. He loves you. He remembers your name. He knows your situation. He knows your circumstance. You are walking. They just don't put them on the side of you. Now you see his footsteps. Let him carry you to the next level. Let him carry you through the valley of decision. Let him carry you through the fire and through the flame. Trust in him. Lean on him. Learn. Fill me up, God, till I overflow. Forgive who hurt you. Tell them you're sorry. Move on. Let it go. Forgive them. Tell them you're sorry. Move on. Let it go. And so, Father, in the midst of the trials and tests that these your people may be going through, or even if they're in a good place, Lord God, help them navigate. Give them direction. Teach them how to talk with you, how to walk with you, how to wait on you, and how to trust you. We bless your holy name, and we love and we honor you. In Jesus' name, Amen. Consider yourselves dismissed. Embrace somebody in this place today. Hallelujah. You're not alone.